What's your game plan for homework?
I thought you were going to say game plan for something else that I was going to be a little bit more excited about. I actually don't have a game plan for homework, sir.
And that, Steve, is why we all screw it up. I don't know too many people that do have a game plan for homework. That is where it gets messed up.
I did have a friend in high school that had a plan.
Yeah,
I think he was a year older than me. I think he ended up being valedictorian, extremely smart, and he had a system as a teenager. And it kind of baffled me because everybody else didn't seem to have such a structured plan.
Any idea where his system came from? Did you ever ask him? We should get him as a guest.
His name was Russ.
Russ.
Extremely disciplined and driven as far as academics went. I think a lot of it came from, he had a great set of parents.
Well,
but I think a lot of it came from his intrinsic motivation to excel in academics.
Boy, you just opened up a can for about 40 episodes with that phrase.
Open up a can of intrinsic.
Yeah, the nerd in me just went crazy when you started talking about intrinsic and that drive there. And while that's, you know, that's obviously the holy grail. We want our kids, we want our teen athletes and performers to be that kind of person, that intrinsic motivation. But it's not really reality for most of them. And so our job as parent coaches becomes to try to create the environment that fosters that. Gets at the idea of game planning. What's your game plan for homework? Are we intentionally creating that?
Well, I want to alert our parents to our game plan.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not listened to episode 84, it might be good to go back and listen where we talk about the relationship between values and rules and values, because this is a spin-off. Did I say spin-off?
Yeah.
I
love it.
This is a spin-off episode from 84 where we are going to talk about creating rules for homework.
Yep.
If you have not subscribed to our channel, Nate, it is called our YouTube channel, the Stop Parenting and Start Coaching Podcast. That's the name of the channel. Please subscribe, share it with a friend. So we have set the table in 84 with values. By the way, 1984, good year.
Van Halen called. They want their album back.
That's right. And also a crazy book. But where are we going to go with this today? Where we're going to try to create, give some parents something to think about as far as creating rules for homework, because we know they are crazy busy.
Yeah,
the calendar is full. Practices, games, competitions, plus all the family stuff, plus other stuff.
Plus all the other kids stuff. It gets super overwhelming. And this is a great conversation to have, because, and this is why people don't have this plan in place, because nobody wants to do homework. The kids don't want to do the homework. And so it becomes a conflict really, really fast. You sit down, the kids, you're like, you got to do your homework, and they don't want to do the homework. And so you butt heads about it, and everybody gets intense and emotional and not in a good way. So I want to steer our conversation more towards the idea of what can you do to put some rules in place that allow you to have a less confrontational conversation about it and make sure everybody is on the same page with it. And so do you like commercials? Are you a commercial guy?
Yeah, I like commercials.
Can you remember jingles from commercials from when you were younger?
Sure.
Any come to mind?
Well, I mean, the first one I thought of, it wasn't necessarily when I was a kid, but I remember American Family Insurance.
Oh, American Family Insurance.
Yeah, see, you got it.
If it ain't fried and Wesson, you might as well boil it. That's an old school one. I don't know if you remember that one.
What's the salsa one about New York City?
Oh, same pace.
Yeah.
This stuff's made in New York City.
Yeah, New York City.
Get a rope.
I remember Where's the Beef, the Wendy's commercial.
And you know what? I have fond memories of that too. Those were hilarious commercials. And that's one of the things that I want to throw out here is to parents as when you're creating these rules around homework, don't keep it too serious. Like you know what you want to accomplish. Kids know what you want to accomplish. You want to get the work done. But if it turns into a nag fest, now it's a problem.
A nag fest.
Patent that word.
I like that.
But if you can put some fun on it, and we've come up with some clever ways that you can label a rule. So like if your rule is you get your homework done before you do whatever, you get your homework done before you go to practice, you get your homework done before you can play in a game, whatever.
What you're saying. Yeah. That's really boring what you're saying there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it sets up for confrontation because, well, I don't want to do this right now. So anything that you can do to take the edge off of that and make it a little more fun is great.
So we're going to get a little gimmicky here, but
a little bit.
If it helps, why not?
Yeah. Think of it in terms of jingles. It's like ba da ba ba ba. And I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for doing that, but hey, shout out McDonald's for your wonderful jingle because we're loving it. Hope you'll love these as you start to use something like this. So these are just ideas. You don't have to use them. Come up with your own fun jingles that make talking about doing the homework before doing the activities makes it a little better conversation.
Yeah, you've putting the pressure on us now.
You ready? You want to go first?
Hey, if these stink, these were all Nate's ideas. Okay.
I'll take the blame for it.
Do yours first. My favorite one? Well, yeah, I hear it all the time from you.
So my favorite one is doesn't matter, get better. I love that one. And that one can be tough. And I got that from Brian Kite, who's one of my absolute favorite follows. He writes tremendous stuff, has so many great ideas about building culture and leadership.
K-I-G-H-T.
K-I-G-H-T. Really, really good stuff. But he has that phrase, and I love that for a situation like this. I can hate the homework all I want, but it doesn't matter. I got to get better. And getting better, I'm not worried about when am I going to use this math. You're never going to use that math. That's a lame argument. Don't do it. Doesn't matter. Get better. And getting better in that situation looks like doing the homework. Now, that one may be a little confrontational, but if you start using it more, it can actually kind of be a funny little phrase. The kids that I work with that I use that phrase with, it's kind of a little running joke. And so even when they have to do something they don't want to do, they go to that, well, doesn't matter. Get better. And so I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah. You tend to say that to me if I start to move towards any type of excuse.
Doesn't matter, Steve.
Doesn't matter. Get better. Mm-hmm. What about homework hustle?
I like that. We got to get our homework hustle on.
Yeah, a little cheesy, but you know, it paints a picture for me.
Well, and it has some fun shoot off conversations too. If you want to hustle on the court, you got to hustle on the homework. How you do one thing is how you do everything. That's from, I think, multiple sources. But if you're going to hustle on the court, hustling on your homework's the way to go.
Hey, you brought in Brian Kite, which nice. I love his stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
And you were the one that got me following him. So yeah, thank you. But I'm going to bring in Don Meyer.
Okay.
When you think of college coaches out there, most people, you know, you think of the iconic names. You'll think of, you know, Coach Knight, Krzyzewski, John Wooden, you know, the absolute, you know, some of the greats out there. Don Meyer is not a familiar name with basketball people outside of really, really serious coaches. And he coached at, he was at David Lipscomb.
Uh-huh.
And which was an NAIA school, won a couple national championships, and he ended up coaching at Northern State, which I believe was up in North Dakota. Smaller schools. Anyway, absolute genius. Everybody knew him. Phenomenal guy. But I heard one thing from him at a clinic about academics that really stuck with me. That's cool. That was, if you want a scholarship, go to the library. And maybe you could expand on why this is actually really, really great advice and true.
Well, here's your jingle to go with it. GPA, the silent recruiter.
Okay. The silent recruiter.
GPA is the silent recruiter. And it's such a great way to remind kids that, your scholarship is more likely to come from that academic arena than it is from the athletic arena.
And why is that?
Well, you start looking and unfortunately, one of the fallouts of NILs is you have, and the transfer portal, you have so many upperclassmen now, sophomores, juniors, seniors that are moving around. They're taking up a lot of the roster spots that used to be going to high school kids. And the scholarships that used to be going to high school kids coming out of high school are now going to a lot of these other places along with the NIL money and all that. And then when you get to the lower levels, okay, Division III, they don't really do athletic scholarships. Division II, they have limited athletic scholarships that usually get divvied up amongst the whole team, unless there's somebody they really want and they give the whole thing to. But it's that academic window that makes you, actually make yourself more valuable as a performer and as an athlete to a school if you are good at your performance, good at your athletics, but you're great as a student. Because they can get you in on an academic scholarship and then have you play and have you do other things. So that GPA is actually the silent recruiting tool that you need to be even more valuable if you're trying to get to that next level.
Absolutely. Yeah. It also is, you're showing your new coaches that you are disciplined. Yeah.
You have the discipline. You have the commitment to do what's necessary. And everything's training for something. Your homework, even if you don't think you're going to ever use that, you will use the ability to make yourself do what needs to be done everywhere you go, in every walk of life. So it's really cool.
Yeah. No cramming, no crying.
I love that one. It's kind of like the doesn't matter, get better. But, you know, and what a great way to sum up the rule. We don't cram in this house. You know, we don't cry about our homework. No cramming, no crying.
I think we probably could all tell some stories about people that we knew.
Oh, man.
That have blown it, that have wasted opportunities because they weren't getting it done in the classroom.
Yeah. And you know, we don't want to share any real personal examples with kids we've coached that have done that, but we have kids that we've coached where their academics, their failure to follow some of these rules, okay? You know, books before buzzer beaters. If that's your rule.
Is that another one?
That's another one.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, I just like to throw them in. Books before buzzer beaters. And if that's the rule, that keeps you focused more on this is what we need to make sure we get done. Because they do get in the way. And from a psychological perspective, if your kid's head is full of, I'm a bad student, I'm not getting it done in the classroom, that can eat away at their confidence. It all comes together on the court. And if somebody's confidence is eroded off the court by something, it can impact their performance.
Absolutely. What if we finish with some questions for the parents? Because if you were thinking we were just going to lay down the rules that you should lay down in your house, you're wrong, because I think this is an individual family thing. It's going to be unique to your situation, your calendar.
You're the coach in your house. You're making the game plan.
You are the coach. You're going to make the game plan. But we have some questions for you, parents, that would be helpful, I think, as you try to navigate this rule making or rule adjusting. You might already have some rules. Maybe they could use a little shine.
Always good to review.
Okay, I'll start us off, Nate.
Let's hear it.
Do your teens have a dedicated, distraction-free study area, place? We're talking about study environment. Are you maximizing their opportunity to concentrate, focus, and get a lot done in a short amount of time?
There's a lot of feng shui in that, but there's a lot of research that supports that idea that having a dedicated distraction-free homework place is a huge benefit. Great thing to add to the game plan. Question two, if school was a sport, how would they rate their practice? and you get them to think and talk about if school was a sport, how good would you be at practicing?
That.
I got that from some genius named Steve.
That's a good one. I like that one. What's your off-season strategy? How do you keep their brain sharp during breaks? So during the school year, you're going to have lots of breaks. There's obviously summer breaks. I hear this from teams all the time. I'll ask them, hey, what's your toughest class? You know, what's your biggest challenge? What's going on now? Oh, I don't have anything right now. And so what do you do during those downtimes that helps them to stay sharp?
And Steve, that's a good way to weaponize homework, because now the homework becomes a tool for keeping them sharp for what they're performing. You might not have much of a reason for doing this. You might not see much, but this is your opportunity to keep your discipline sharp and keep your mind sharp. So when you get back into your off-season activities and your regular season stuff, you're ready to roll.
So when you say weaponize, you're meaning this in a useful
term. If we have to do homework, Steve, we're never going to get it done if we're complaining about why we shouldn't have to do it. I totally agree with kids. This is part of why I changed a lot of the things I do with as a teacher. I totally agree with them. When are they ever going to use most of that math? They're never going to use it. But if you have that argument, it goes back and forth. You have to weaponize it. What are you going to use it for instead of letting it use you?
I love the way you keep bringing up the math thing, because
it
helps me feel better about my previous math experiences. Okay, hit me with another question.
What's more important, the grade on the paper or the growth in the effort? A lot of times homework is a problem for kids because they don't feel like they're good at it. And the hyper-focus on grades can actually work against them wanting to do their homework. And so it's a worthy conversation as you're making your game plan as parents for how you're going to approach homework. What's more important, the grade or the effort? And do your rules that you create that surround it and the jingles you come up with that are part of that, do they reflect what's really important to you about that homework?
GPA, the silent recruiter.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, I'm going to finish up with this one. If your future self, you're talking to your teen, if your future self could give you one piece of advice about academics, what would it be? This is probably not often asked of teens, but I think this is a really good thing. It's a good thing at any age to think about. What would your future self tell you? You might get an eye roll on this one, because now they are transporting themselves into the future and maybe even being a parent. And it's like, oh my, why would I ever want to be a parent? You know, right now I know everything. I'm a teenager. Why do I want to be demoted to parent where I don't know everything anymore? But what do you like about that question? The future self question.
None of us will ever meet a better coach than our best self from the future, that's figured out how to get through all the crap that we're dealing with right now. And if we bring that person back, they can give us some very personal and specific advice on what we need to do in the moment with whatever we're facing.
Very well said. No cramming, no crying.
Absolutely. Doesn't matter. Get better.
Books before buzzer beaters.
Have fun creating these rules, parents. This is, make it fun. Have a game plan.
On behalf of Steve Galley, I'm Nate Crandall, and we thank you, our loyal listeners, for tuning in to this episode. If you love what you're learning from the Stop Parenting and Start Coaching podcast, we would appreciate it very much if you would leave us a 5-star review and some glowing comments. We also encourage you to share this episode with your friends and family who are parents of athletes and performers. And if you want to explore further and see what Steve and I are creating to help thousands of parents, athletes, and performers, please visit our company's website at createtransformbecome.com. That's createtransformbecome, all one word, .com. There you will find a growing number of resources to help you elevate your performance. Thank you again for your support, and we encourage you to create a magical relationship with your athlete and performer.